Recording in progress.
This is your first time, or whether you've been coming here for the last 50 years, Lord, we just want to extend a very warm welcome to you all. I'd like to give a special welcome to our speaker this morning, Colin Morrison. Not a stranger by any means, and I believe that last time that he was up here, he was speaking about Christmas. Well, Christmas tree specifically. I don't think that's going to be a topic this morning. Also, welcome back Reuben from being off last Sunday, and his friend Carter with us this morning. So, you're very welcome. A few announcements for the incoming week. If you need to speak to a minister in the case of pastoral need or emergency, you can contact Johnson Lamb today. Contact details are in the June bulletin or in the man's answer phone. Niall is due back from leave tomorrow. That's Monday the 20th. And a reminder also that there's a midweek meeting this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Just also remember the folks who are on mission teams this week. So remember Daniel Barana, who's still in Spain. He due back on. He's part of the Exodus team in Spain, and he's due back on Saturday. Remember the ongoing preparations for the Holiday Bible Club, and I believe that Kira wants to make an announcement. And I just while she's coming up, I just want to invite folks just to stay on for the summer refreshments. And apologies, there's still no ice cream, as I haven't found a shop yet. A few words from Kira.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So I just wanted to remind folks about a few things to do with Holiday Bible Club. So does anyone know how many days it is until Holiday Bible Club starts? It's 15. So not long to go now, and that was not a nervous laughter for me at all. No, genuinely, we're really, really excited. It's a real privilege and a real blessing to be able to do Holiday Bible Club here. So as a reminder, Holiday Bible Club will be taking place from Monday the 3rd to Thursday the 6th of August from 6:30 until 8, and that'll be for all children who are going into P1 up to those who are leaving P7. So our registration link is live. Numbers are looking a little bit lower than we usually would have around this time of year, which I'm not concerned about, it's grand. But if you're a parent or guardian and your child wants to come to Holiday Bible Club, can we encourage you just to sign up in advance of Holiday Bible Club? That would be really, really helpful. I know the registration team would agree that it massively helps with the administration in the evening, and it also helps for our planning ahead for each evening. So you can register online. You can sign up on the night as well, but it does help to do it in advance. And online, you sign up usually closes on the Sunday before, just so we have enough time to print everything out. You can sign up either using the long URL, the long web link on this, or scan on the QR code. I'm also going to send a wee message to anyone who's on the Primetime WhatsApp group. They'll have the link there, so you can just click on it and register. You can also send that through to any friends or family or parent WhatsApp groups that you might have of people who you'd like to invite. And as ever, just encourage you to continue to pray for Holiday Bible Club. As I said, it's a real blessing and a privilege to share Jesus with these children. So pray, please pray for the children who'll be coming along. Thank you. Thank the Lord that he already knows who they are and that they'll know more of Jesus, who he is, and that he loves them so much. So thank you.
Thank you, Kira, and now we'll hand over to Colin. Over to you, Colin.
Good morning. As we come to worship the Lord together this morning, we think about the words of Psalm 117, where we read, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Praise the Lord. So let's do that together, as if we're able. We stand and sing, "There is one gospel."
For all.
Now let us gather together as we join in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you today to offer to you our praise and our adoration. We rejoice in the one gospel of Jesus Christ. We rejoice that you are the one in whom there is neither a beginning nor an ending. You have always been. You will always be. All your deeds are marvelous, and your greatness is beyond our imagination. Your love reaches right into the depths of human experience. Your mercy is renewed with each new dawn. Your knowledge is complete. Your grace is drawn from bottomless depths. To you, O God, and to you alone, be all glory now and forever. And yet, we come this morning in a spirit of humility and with a deep sense of our own failure. Our minds fail to adjust to your thinking. Our mouths fail to speak your words. Our actions fail to truly represent you, O Lord. And so as another new week begins, we find ourselves once more in need of your forgiveness. In thought, in word, and in deed, cleanse us, renew us, and restore us, O Lord, we pray. Remold us and refashion us to be the people you want us to be, living the way you want us to live. And start that work in our worship now, worship which we offer with the prayer that it might glorify your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, boys and girls, those of you who are still with us and not away on holiday, will you come and join me at the front? Up you come and we'll chat together. At this point, if I was Niall, I would head off in there and get dressed up and come back out, but that is not going to happen this morning. Let's all move in nice and closely together. Okay. All right. Morning, girls. Okay. Who knows any words? Anybody know any words? Anybody use any words? Do you ever talk to people? Yeah, so you know some words, you talk to people. We're going to think about three words this morning. I was going to ask you to guess them, but that would be entirely unfair, so I won't. Here's the first one. What does that say? Somebody tell me what that says. Thank you. All right, have you ever said thank you? Well, that's a relief. Tell me when it's good to say thank you. When should you say thank you? Yeah. When somebody gives you something, that's right, yeah?
When you're excited.
Yes, when you're excited about something and people give you things. Yeah, absolutely. That's good. Anything else, yeah?
When you get your birthday.
When it's your birthday. Oh, anybody's birthday soon? Just check in case the parents weren't sure. All right, thank you is a really important thing to say. Right, here's another word that I think you might know, but I think this is a very, very hard word to say. What is that word?
Sorry.
Sorry. Is sorry hard to say?
No.
No, that's good. When is it right to say sorry?
When you do bad stuff.
Yeah.
And it, beats me up.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, when somebody dies, you say sorry to the people who are left. That's really good. Sorry is a very important word when you do things wrong, when you say things wrong, or when you want to be sympathetic to somebody. So, thank you, sorry. One more word. I wonder, could you guess the one other word? They kind of all go together. Please. Well done. Now, when is it right to say please?
When you get saved.
When you ask for something. You don't just say, give me that, or take me there, or do this. Sure you don't. You're meant to say, please, can I have? Please, can we go? Please, can we do? Very important words. Yeah, when else? Yeah, the words really come together, please and thank you. And if you don't say please or you don't say thank you, maybe that's the time to say sorry. The one other person that we need to use these words when we're speaking to him is Jesus. Maybe when we're praying. And it's good to say thank you to God and to Jesus for all the good things he's given to us. What are some of those good things that we can say thank you for that God has given us? For your best friend. Really good. What else might you say thank you for? Yeah, and when you get things from God that you want, sometimes it's good to say thank you for what God has given us. That's good. Now, so we need to say thank you to God and to Jesus. What about sorry? When is it right to say sorry to God? When you've done something wrong. And we all do things wrong every day, even the grown-ups. Will we check with the grown-ups to see if they've ever said sorry to God, will we? Will we have a look here? Will you all look around and see if anybody admits to this? I'm going to ask all the grown-ups if they've ever had to say sorry to God. You watch and see if anybody puts their hand up. You see if anybody doesn't have their hand up? They're telling me porkies. It happens to all of us. We all have to say sorry at times. And then, of course, there is the please word as well. If we're asking God for something, it's good to say please. Good to say please. Yeah.
Please, can you help my grandma get better?
Yeah, please, can you help your grandma get better? That's a really important please, things like that. So, three really important words this morning. Thank you, sorry, and please. So, just before you go out to Summer Children's Church and to the creche space, we're going to use those words and we're going to talk to God together. So let's all pray nice and quiet and listen carefully and join in this prayer. Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning and we thank you for who you are and for the things you've done. We thank you for giving us Jesus and we thank you for all the other good things you give us. We are sorry that at times we do things we shouldn't do. Help us to be better each day, but we know that when we fail, you will be there to hear us say sorry. And please help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. We pray for those who we know who are maybe sick or unhappy. Be with them at this time and be with us in the rest of the day that we have together here and then when we go into the rest of the day with our families and friends. Hear us as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to sing before you leave us. No, you can't get to heaven without salvation. We've sung this before. You know it, we know it. Let's sing it together right now.
Yeah.
We're going to turn together to prayer once again and bring before the Lord the needs of others. Let's come before God in prayer. Father, as we bow before you now to think of others, we lift our eyes to the world around us, the world in which we live, and where we see so much chaos and conflict. War, whether it's between Iran and the USA and Israel, or Ukraine and Russia, natural disaster, whether it's earthquake in Venezuela or fire in Spanish forests, and death and murder much closer to home. For the family shattered by the events in Kalibaki, by the deaths caused in North Belfast, even in this past week. Lord, in these situations and in many others, we pray that you'll bring healing to all who suffer, that you'll grant wisdom to those in leadership seeking to get a handle on so much that is wrong in our world. Strengthen those who are involved in rescue or in bringing justice in the midst of all that is so wrong. We pause for a moment and pray about these things in our hearts. Then, our Father, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ on earth. We think of our brothers and sisters in all situations where there is persecution, who have no freedom to do what we are doing now, which is to gather together to worship you, unafraid of unwelcome invasion by those who want to stop us. Those who in their persecution are tortured or see the death of their loved ones. Their faith is costly. We pray for them as they stand strong. We think of our own Presbyterian Church in days of challenge and change. We remember our moderator, Richard, and our soon-to-be clerk, Jonathan. Remember those who lead us in our presbyteries across the island of Ireland. We pray for our church fellowship here at Ballyhenry. We think of those involved in outreach over the summer months, those who have been and are back with us, those who are not with us because they are serving elsewhere this morning, and those who are looking forward later in the summer to do the same, reaching out either in Ireland or further afield to serve you. We thank you for those people, and we pray that you will honor their work and bring fruit for all their laboring. We pray too for the Holiday Bible Club soon to come here in Ballyhenry for the final preparations. And we pray that as you prepare the leaders to lead, you'll prepare the children who come. And again, we pray that seed will be sown and that it will in time produce good fruit. We pause to reflect and pray for church life here and further afield in quiet prayer. And then, Father, we lift up to you those known to us who need our prayers. Those who are bereaved, whether recently or a long time ago. Those who are ill. Those who are lonely. Those who are in breaking or broken relationships. Those with financial hardship. Those in challenging parental situations. Hear us as we pray in our hearts for all such. And so, Lord, we bring our prayers before you, confident that as we ask you, you listen and you respond according to your will. May our prayer be answered to your glory as we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we turn to God's word this morning in the book of Acts, Chapter 11. You'll find it on page 1105 of the Bibles that are somewhere near you in the seats, hopefully. We're going to be reading at verse 19, Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Let us hear God's word. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Amen, and we pray that God will speak to us through his word today. Before we return to it, we're going to stand, again if you're able, and sing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Give our band the chance to sit down. They are wonderful, aren't they? Give them a round of applause, just to encourage them. We really are blessed by the musical leadership here in Ballyhenry. And by the leadership from the pulpit as well, by the way. Don't be going home to say the wrong thing. Here's a question for you. You may not have thought about this already today, but I want you to think about it for a moment. What would you like your epitaph to be? You know that sentence or phrase that gets put on your gravestone and people wander past it and think, that's the kind of person she was or he was. What would you like your epitaph to be? Here's a few examples. Now, I'll apologize in advance. They're all American, but that's the way it goes. On the grave of Ezekiel Akel in East Dalhousie Cemetery, Nova Scotia, here lies Ezekiel Akel, age 102. The good die young. That took a while to register, didn't it? You kind of sense a wave. Okay, you're allowed to smile or even laugh if you think they're funny. Here's another. Memory of an accident in a Uniontown, Pennsylvania cemetery. Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake. The poet John Bryden, 1631 to 1700, on his wife. Here lies my wife. Here, let her lie. Now she's at rest, and so am I. A decidedly male tone to the laughter there. One more. Harry Edsel Smith of Albany, New York, looked up the elevator shaft to see if the car was on its way down. It was. Presumably none of the aforementioned, but what would you like your epitaph to be? As serious epitaphs go, but only, of course, if it's true, the words that we read earlier in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, are hard to beat. We read of Barnabas in that verse that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in the faith. A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in the faith. It's Barnabas, of whom these words were written, who's under our microscope for a while this morning. Barnabas is one of my favorite Bible characters. He's really very low-key, underassuming. We don't hear much about him except in a few chapters in Acts and the odd other place. But I think Jesus apart, as I read the Bible, Barnabas emerges as one of my favorites. And there's lots of times I think, to be a Barnabas. With me, let's engage in a little snapshot of the life that he lived. First of all, we read a little bit about him in Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. We read, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles," which is translated, "son of encouragement." Hold that thought. That's really important as we go through Barnabas' life together. "He was a Levite of the country of Cyprus, and having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So a first act of this sort of encouragement was to be generous with his resources. That's the first snapshot. The second is in Acts 9, verse 26 onwards, and then in Acts 15. 9:26. "And when Saul," who was once Paul, of course, "after his conversion, had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." And then in chapter 15 from verse 36 onwards, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. The contention became so sharp that they parted from each other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. If a moment ago in snapshot one, we saw him generous with his resources, here in snapshot two, we see him courageous in his friendships. He puts his arm round Paul's shoulder when other disciples would have been good to give him a kicking because of what he'd done to Christians, but not Barnabas. And here, John Mark, makes a mistake, but again, it's Barnabas who puts an arm around his shoulder to give him, effectively, a second chance. He's courageous in his friendships. And then the third snapshot is this. In Acts 11, the one we read this morning, the passage we read this morning, Barnabas is sent from Jerusalem to meet in Antioch with some of the believers who had scattered after the persecution of Stephen. And we read, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And a great many people were added to the Lord, and he brought Saul to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And later in life, as recorded through Acts 13 to 15, we can read of this on-the-road missionary work as he traveled with Paul before they went their separate ways, and others teaching and preaching the gospel. So here we see him in this third snapshot as an effective mentor and teacher. And it's this kind of generosity and courage in friendships and effectiveness that makes Barnabas such a compelling figure and makes the description of him in Acts 11, verse 24, so accurate. He was a good man, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the easy bit. That, in three snapshots, doesn't quite do justice, but in three snapshots, that is Barnabas. What are the lessons that we can learn from that life? Snapshot one, Joseph, who was named Barnabas by the apostles, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here we see him generous with his resources. So the question for me that flows from that, as we seek to apply this to our lives and learn from Barnabas, is what resources have we at our disposal with which we might be generous? And you're probably thinking, well, I don't have very much. I don't think I have many resources to give that are spare resources that I can give to anybody. Well, wait a minute before you write yourself off. What about time? We all have time. Now, some of it, for some of us, is very available. You know, once you're retired, what is there to do? So you have plenty of time. So all you people who are older than Martin Graham, bear in mind the resource that you have available. You might be able to use a bit more of it in leadership, if you're asked, or in service, or certainly in prayer. There are always prayers to be prayed, time to be taken out to pray about issues that you hear about Sunday by Sunday, or you know about from other aspects of your life. There's a gap to be filled, a job to be done, a part to play. Church is corporate. Use your time to be part of the body of Christ in this place. Talents. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has a skill. If you haven't found yours yet, chat to some people. Ask them, what do you think I can do? And if they're nice, they'll tell you the truth and they'll encourage you and they'll give you some idea how you might help because they've spotted a talent. If somebody comes to you and says, look, I think you could do this, I think you could help here, let your first reaction not be, no, no, I couldn't do that. Let it be, well, if you think I'm the person, let's go for it. Your home. Is your home a place of hospitality? And if it is, that's good. And if it's not, you need to get the kettle boiling so that it's somewhere when people come, they feel welcome. I remember growing up in my home church, there were many leaders of various organizations back in the day when lots of churches had lots of young people. There were some who made an outstanding impact in my life. And as I think back and wonder why did I think it was those people, they invested their time in me outside the youth leadership hours they were committed. They invested their time in me. And also their home was open. I knew if I needed an ear, I had theirs. And it wasn't just me, I wasn't special. It was all of the people who were growing up with me. And I remember one lady with her husband who was a quiet man. And every Christmas Eve, you want to think about this in your context, every Christmas Eve, 10, 20 of us descended on that home round about tea time and left it at 6 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day to go to a service in the local Methodist church. Now that is hospitality above and beyond. And that happened year after year. I'm not suggesting this Christmas Eve you do that, but young people may know it's a possibility and think, whose house can we invade and spend Christmas Eve there? No, by the way, we're not at home this Christmas, okay? So, we can't do it. We would if we were at home. We would love to. Shouldn't have said that, you know. So, there's time, there's talents, there's the space you live in, your home, and of course, there's obviously always finance. We can only give what we have, but the example that Jesus pointed to is key here. The little old lady who in monetary terms didn't give very much, but in terms of what she had, she gave it all. And Jesus calls all of us to face that challenge in terms of our financial generosity. Barnabas, a good man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, was generous with his resources and thereby a great encourager. Let's move on to note his courageous friendships. First of all, as I said, he'd put his arm around Saul and kind of looked after him when the disciples were a bit suspicious. And then later when Mark had perhaps been less than he might have been, Barnabas took him on to encourage him and bless him. It's easy, I suppose, to befriend those who we know will befriend us back. Sometimes we need to be challenged to risk friendships that may leave us out on a limb, knowing people are wondering, why are they his friend or her friend? A couple of people I can think of again growing up, one who was a contemporary of mine, one who was one of those leaders I've spoken about, and they saw the awkward kid, and they saw the good in the awkward kid, and they saw the non-conforming kid, the one who didn't fit. And I wish I could have been like them, if I'm honest. Because when I wanted to stand back a wee bit and be a wee bit cautious, they went straight in and stood alongside and metaphorically put their arms around them and walked with them through what were often difficult life circumstances. Maybe there's someone out there that you know who needs a friend. And maybe it's not going to be necessarily an easy friendship for you. But maybe when you think about it, you know there's going to be nobody else. Barnabas, as an encourager, was courageous with his friendships. And then in the snapshot that had him spoken of in the scriptures as we read this morning, we see him as an effective mentor and teacher. he was sent to teach the dispersed church in Antioch. On seeking out Paul, he took with him, and they spent a fair amount of time there. They were effective times in the church. It was growing, and believers were added and strengthened. But I think for me, the most fascinating dimension of this phase is his mentoring of Paul. Maybe the most effective result of Barnabas' teaching was Paul's ministry. It's interesting that when we first see them paired, it's Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas is the main man in the situation. And then eventually it becomes Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas has done his work. Paul is established. So Barnabas quietly steps back. There was a great challenge in the life of the church to encourage, to mentor, to care for, not to try to clone those younger believers who are coming through. Younger in belief, the age is not relevant really, it's where they are in faith. It's been a long time conviction of mine that one of the ways that churches, local churches, need to invest in young adult Christian leaders in their congregation is by developing and maintaining an effective formal or informal mentoring program that we might build younger believers up and set them free to serve. Whether there are many or few, the number is not important. If you've two young people in a fellowship or 200, there's a job to be done. There's an investment to be made. Because that's really what Jesus did with the 12, isn't it, over a 3-year period? And a bunch of awkward guys who had their own agendas and often wanted to do their own thing and go their own way. But Jesus stuck in there and taught them and worked with them and grew them. So maybe you'll commit this to the Lord in prayer and save us the direction you can usefully be taking in terms of helping to grow disciples, not merely through the importance of a discipleship class or program, but through life skills, chatting, praying, listening to those who want to grow in their faith. Barnabas, a good man, full of faith in the Holy Spirit, was effective in his teaching and mentoring, thereby a great encourager. I want to share a personal reflection with you before throwing out a final challenge and then we're done. Barnabas had a multidimensional fruitful life, as we've seen. And as I think about it, I have been encouraged down the years by many Barnabases in my life. Very different people from very different backgrounds. First and foremost, friends and beyond that, family, past and present. But also members of congregations. I share with you one lady this morning. I'll not name her because I don't think I should, although she's long gone to glory. But this particular person in my ministry in Eglinton, who I first met about 6 months after I arrived. Her husband had died and we met in those sad circumstances and got to know her from then. As she emerged, now she would have been about 60 years of age at that stage. So if you're in that age group, listen up. Listen anyway, but if you're particularly in that age group, listen up. She wasn't a youth leader, ever, I don't think. She was never on committee. She was never in session. She was not a public speaker. She used the gifts she had. She had good gifts of hands and crafts, and she was up front and doing that. She was a very faithful member of the church choir. Not everybody was convinced that she was more than enthusiastic, but she really was. She committed to it. When we worshipped, she was there. When we worshipped twice on a Sunday, she was there twice. When we prayed, she was there. All the time, every week. There were words of encouragement. There were acts of kindness. There were small gifts. And she was the kind of person, when I was out visiting and had a really bad afternoon, I thought, I'm going to call and visit her. Not for her benefit, but for mine. No exceptional particular gifts, as you might identify, but lived a life that was jam-packed full of encouragement. And I'm not sure that many people told her that. She'd won all her great skill. One evening at the end of our prayer meeting, a mouse appeared. Four or five members of that prayer meeting were running across the seats, out the door, and down the street. This particular lady picked up a hymn book that happened to be handy, fired it, and took the mouse out in one shot. She was my hero from that night on. But seriously, she was my Barnabas, or one of them. She wasn't the only one, but she was well up there. So I want to throw it out to you this morning. You can be that person. You can be the one who encourages the people around you just by doing what it is you can do, by praying, by being at the important meetings, by encouraging the leadership, by encouraging the minister, by encouraging the praise team, by encouraging those who give vast amounts of their time in the building up of God's people here. The final challenge, the question for all of us, and for me, and that's where I start with it, in return, have I been a Barnabas to any? Now, that's not for me to decide. I hope I have. But to whom can you be a Barnabas? In whose life can you invest? About 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe now, time flies, we had a superb youth fellowship service here this morning. Not this morning, not Sunday morning. It was a privilege to be here. And we need to look after those kids. We need to be their encouragers. We need to invest in their lives so that they know, with the rest of us, this is their church family. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're part, like the rest of us, of the church of today. There's real encouragement to be done there and a real investment to be made. And maybe outside of that, there are parents or grandparents in whose lives you can invest, those who are busy at work, those who have difficult family circumstances or personal circumstances, those who feel they're losing a sense of purpose, struggling with faith, ill, lonely, anxious, getting old. We need to be their Barnabases. Whether it's coming alongside in a mentoring friendship, whether it's just befriending as a friend to someone who needs a friend, or whether it's encouragement through generous use of our resources. All of this is evidence of a fruitful life. And we are to be about living fruitful lives in the name of Jesus. Just like ordinary Barnabas and my ordinary encourager back in Eglinton. Going back to the epitaphs. Oh, that it might be accurately said of all of us when our race is run, that man, that woman was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge of the life of Barnabas. We thank you for the man he was, and we thank you that he shone for Jesus in his friendships, in his generosity, in his encouragement, in how he encouraged and led people. Challenge our lives and our hearts to be the people we can be to serve you in this congregation and where you call us to. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we stand, if you're able, to sing our closing praise. Remember, there are refreshments available afterwards. Please stay and avail of them. And Gerald, will you get the ice cream sorted? Really? Like, come on. It's not hard to find an ice cream shop. Anyway, let's sing Living Hope. Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.